You know, through the prayers that we bring before God, He meets our needs. And as each week, you know, we have a prayer list that we kind of go through, and it kind of represents, you know, the greatest needs in our lives. When we have a need that is especially weighing on our hearts, we call up Barbara, or we send an email out and say, you know, please put this on our prayer list. Maybe it's something that keeps you awake at night. You know, or maybe it's something that wakes you up at night and you just have a prayer, Lord, just meet this need. Maybe it's the first thing that comes to mind in the morning. God, meet this need, meet this request. It's heavy on my heart. You know what? We have God's blessed hope that He is hearing us when we pray. You know, we are brought into the presence of God because through His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and through the work that He's done on the cross for us. And, you know, the Roman cross was designed to strike fear into the hearts of people. It was a horrible death. It was a symbol of death. It was a symbol of suffering. It was a way that they tried to bring people under subjection to the Roman rule. But you know what? Only God could take an instrument of death like the cross and turn it into a symbol of life like we have. And when we cast our eyes upon the cross, it brings us into remembrance of the work that Christ has done. And so that He made the way. So as we come into His presence, into this place on Sunday mornings, we're able to make our petitions and our requests and our prayers known to our Lord and Savior, and He hears us. It is now a symbol of hope, a symbol of life, the cross. So we're going to bow our heads together and we're going to pray this morning. There's many requests on here represented for healing. We're continuing to pray for Daryl Scheel, Pastor Dan's son, and asking the Lord to touch him and continue the work in his body. And we're praying for James Lamb, Ray's father. Praying for a longtime prayer request, Melanie, for Benita Varner. We're continuing to keep her on this prayer sheet, praying that God will touch her and bring her to complete wholeness. A longtime member of our congregation here, Eddie Aldridge, we're continuing to pray for him. And we have some new requests this morning. I know Barbara is having a medical procedure this week, so let's remember to pray for Barbara. Raymond is having a CT scan on his lungs. And Jessica is supposed to have a follow-up, and so let's remember these three prayers that are coming forward this week and ask the Lord to touch and ask the Lord to heal and to provide and give us confidence that He's got things under control. So let's, before I pray, I'd like to just read a short portion of Scripture from Psalms chapter 34. And the psalmist says here, he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And verse 4 says, I sought the Lord, and He answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Those that look to Him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. Do you ever feel like that? You ever feel despondent? This poor man cried, and the Lord heard the prayer. Amen. So let's turn to the Lord this morning as we pray together, asking Him to meet all of these requests and all of these needs. Heavenly Father, the first thing that we do this morning is we acknowledge You and Your holiness. For holy is the Father. Holy is the Son, and holy is His Spirit. A three-part divinity, Lord, that we cannot comprehend. But Lord, we acknowledge that You are holy and that You are at work in our lives. We acknowledge, Lord, that You love us, for we ever lean upon Your steadfast love. We're so thankful to You, Lord, that we have these requests, Lord. We have these needs. And Lord, for those that need a healing, for those that need a touch in their bodies, Lord, we just pray for Your divine touch even now. Thankful that, Lord, that we can turn to You, Lord. Lord, when the doctors speak and they say, we don't have any hope, we don't have any answers, Lord, we know that we can turn to You, we can turn to the cross, and there's our answer. Lord, You are able to touch and You are able to heal. So we lift all of these needs, Lord, for a physical touch and a physical healing, Lord, to You this morning, Lord Jesus. We enter Your presence, Lord, recognizing our frailties, recognizing our weaknesses, our inabilities, but acknowledging, Lord, Your greatness. So, Lord, we just pray, Father, also for the needs of this country. Lord, from the very top, Lord, from our president on down, Lord, we pray for Your work in the lives of our leaders, from President Biden, with the executive branch within our federal government. Lord, we also extend our prayers to the branch of Congress, Lord, for the senators and our House of Representatives. Lord, we also pray for our judiciary branch, Lord, of government, Lord, that as each one of these work, Lord, and as they make decisions, and as they ponder what's best for the people of this country, Lord, that Your divine wisdom would be spoken to them through their advisors. Lord, that You would work in such a way, Lord, that Your will is wrought within the lives of people. Lord, that the freedom of the gospel will continue to go forth in this place, Lord Jesus, across our country from shore to shore, Lord Jesus, do a work, Lord, that revival may come forth, Lord, as Your word is freely spoken and freely preached. We ask, Lord, that You would do a work in the hearts and lives of men and women all across this country, Lord. We pray for the kingdom. We pray for the kingdom of God, Lord, that people will be brought out of darkness and brought into Your marvelous light. We look to You, Lord Jesus. Lord, man does not have the answers, but Lord, we know the One who has all the answers to life. So we turn to You, Lord, asking You to touch, asking You to minister, Lord. Bring wisdom, bring help. And Lord, we also want to pray for all the ministries that we support here, Lord. We want to say a special prayer for the DeHavens, Lord, that as they come back from Egypt and as You are working in their lives, Lord. They've spent 2 years in language school, asking You, Lord, just to lead them and guide them, Lord, as they seek Your face, Lord Jesus, for direction on where to minister Your word to those in Egypt. Lord, we just trust You, Lord, that You will lead them and guide them. Asking You, Lord, to bless and prosper the Pregnancy Assistance Center North, Lord, who we support and who ministers to families and the rescue of the unborn. Lord, we just pray that You would bless them and touch them and help them, Lord, meet the need of the ministry, Lord Jesus. Lord, and we also want to say a special prayer for our Wycliffe translators whom we support and asking You, Lord, just to minister to them, Lord. Thankful to You, Lord, for their lives and their committed devotion to translating the scriptures into a language that a people group can understand and they can read and hear Your word, Lord, written and spoken in their own language, Lord, so that Your Holy Spirit can do its mighty work in the lives of people. Lord, we're thankful to You, Lord, that You brought our brother David here, Brother David Reed, to speak the word, Your written word to us. And so, Lord, we just ask a special blessing upon David, asking You, Lord, that You would touch him and just minister to him, Lord, as he ministers Your word to us. Lord, and help our hearts to be open Help our ears to be attentive to what you have for us. Lord, for that is where we find our comfort and our help and our strength is in your word. And we give you thanks for it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Well, good morning. My name is Bart Lipscomb. If I hadn't had the chance to meet you yet, I get to serve as the pastor here. It's a joy to be with you this morning. If you're a guest and you are visiting with us, just know it's wonderful to have you. I'd love to be able to just say hello at the end of the service. And also, it was so good to see so many of you yesterday. As we came out to the Arts and Crafts Fair, that was a wonderful time. I enjoyed getting to see all the... We have a lot of talent, a lot of gifted artists in this church. So it was fun to see all that on display yesterday in one place. So it was a joy to see so many of you. And it was a good reminder for me that Christmas is around the corner. I was walking around seeing all the Christmas stuff thinking, man, how did we get here? It's so fast. But that I'm trying to resist Christmas at this point because I love Thanksgiving. I want to take some time for Thanksgiving. I want to skip over Thanksgiving. And as God's people, we can never skip past Thanksgiving, can we? We have so many things to be grateful for. We heard about it even this morning. Thank you for sharing that, brother, about how because of a symbol of death, we have been brought into life. And we've been brought into life together. So we have so much to be thankful for. And I was thinking, particularly this week, I was reminded again, there's the next two Sundays, we're just talking about things we're thankful for. And I was reminded again this past week just how grateful that in the cross of Christ, we are not only reconciled to God, we're reconciled to one another. We're brought into a fellowship, a family, a partnership. And as this past week, I was reminded again of how wonderful it is to be able to experience that fellowship. And we were, Jessica and I were down in Orlando, Florida. There was a conference for all of the pastors in Sovereign Grace. That's the family of churches that we get to be a part of, that we've been adopted into. And we were down in Orlando, and it's been 2 years, so they had to cancel they usually do this conference once a year, but they had to cancel it last year because of COVID. So it was so good to see so many faces that we've known over the years down there gathering together. And just hear messages. The theme of this year's conference is something I thought was just timely, and it reflects so much of what we love. It's in our name, but also just what we enjoy about our partnership on the preeminence of Christ. That was the name of the conference, and so all the messages were about just His preeminence over all things. And so it was such a gift to hear those messages. I sent a link out that has all four messages. If you get a chance over the next couple of weeks. Those will stir your soul. They will encourage you. I would encourage you to go listen to those. And we were just really refreshed. And we got a chance to hear also about what God is doing all over the world. It was blowing our minds. Just what we get to be a part of. That here in Conroe, we have a direct role, a direct partnership in what God is doing around the world. We're not the only ones doing it, but it's so great to be a part of it. And just to hear from folks in Ethiopia who are dealing with basically a civil war right now. And they're talking about what God is doing, how He's bringing the gospel forward, even in the midst of these difficult circumstances. And they don't even know. I mean, some of the guys at the conference were giving updates. They're like, I don't know when we get to go back. I don't know what's happening right now. I wonder. One of the guys didn't leave because he said, I just can't leave. This is my church. This is home. And so he's there now, Michael Granger. And he's a friend, and just seeing the gospel go forward there in Ethiopia, in the Philippines, there was folks from the Philippines, and what wonderful update of what God's doing in the Philippines now. He's spreading the gospel, and so many churches that want to come and join the partnership internationally. And then in Mexico and South America, we are blown away by what God is doing just to our southern border, and so many churches, and how soon they may become their own ecclesiastical nation, so to speak, their own partnership where there's Sovereign Grace Mexico, and they're probably going to be bigger than us sooner rather than later. And it's a joy to see that. And so we're there, and I wish I could take you there and you could experience it. But we were there, and it was such a rich moment when they have the lyrics on the screen, and internationals are all around the room. God's family from every tongue, tribe, language, and nation. And we're singing praises to Christ. And it was so hilarious. They put up the Spanish lyrics. We'd sing once in English, And then they'd put up the Spanish lyrics. And we were so well led, but we were so bad at trying to sing the Spanish. But it was so rich to get to do it together. It was such a gift to hear voices in English and Spanish together, just singing the praises of our Lord and Savior Jesus. And you thought, He is worthy of that. Nothing said the preeminence of Christ as much as getting to experience that together with brothers and sisters. And that's what we're a part of. That's what you're a part of. And so I just want to say thank you for just this opportunity this last week to go and be a part of that. I'm just going to hopefully continue to give some updates along the way of some of the things that God is doing. But I just wanted you to hear that and how your fellowship here, our little local fellowship here, is making a difference around the world. And so it was a joy to be reminded of that. So I'm thankful for our partnership. And one expression of that is that we have a sister church down on the south side of town. You guys know Sovereign Grace Pearland real well at this point. But what a gift they have been to us. Their friendship, that church has sent up folks. You guys, you know, we know Daryl really well, but we've gotten to know Jason. We've gotten to know David. And this Sunday, David's coming up from the south side of town, which might as well be on, another state trying to get across Houston. But he's come up to service. And David has been a dear friend over the years. He is originally from the D.C. area. And you guys moved down, was it 2015? 16, okay. 16, they moved down to Pearland. His beautiful wife Mel's with him, son Isaac, and we're glad to have them. And one of the things about David that you guys will tell right away, probably already know about David if he's been here once before, and one of the things that's really encouraged me is David is he's a sharp guy. So engineering background and has done so many things, but David is a humble guy. David jumped in there in Pearland, and the first thing he did is, how can I serve? What can I do? And he's just been laying down his life for 4 or 5 years in that church. And I heard his name. I remember hearing it several years ago. And Daryl just said, hey, this new guy's come, David. And he's just been a gift to our church. His whole family's been a gift to our church. They're really just here to serve. And you've just seen that over time, he took on more and more responsibilities. Just because he cared for this church. Just because he loved. And he wasn't getting like any compensation for it. He was just doing it to serve. So you know what it's like, you know, and many of you know what it's like to be working full-time but also serving the church in many ways. It's like full-time plus. And he did that for years. And then the church continued to grow to the point where they said, hey, we could use another pastor here on staff, somebody to step in and really serve the saints and come alongside Daryl. And so that transition, I'm thrilled to say, happened this last summer. So David stepped out of his kind of career there to jump in beginning in June, kind of right in June, to serve the church on staff there. And the timing of that was perfect because the church there has walked through many things. And right out of the gate, David was able to jump in, sit beside bedsides, weep with folks, pray with folks, lead when Daryl has had some health stuff he's had to deal with that we just prayed about this morning. David's been the guy who's just said, hey, I'll take that. Let me do that. And it's just a good reminder again of all the ways that God has blessed Pearland through this dear family. He's going to bless us this morning through the gifting. And just a good reminder again of how grateful we are for our partnerships. Come on up, brother. We're eager to hear from God's word from you. Thanks for serving us this morning. Come go up a minute.
Amen. Good morning, Christ Church, Conroe. It is just a pleasure to be back here. Our church, we love this church. We love you people. You're near and dear to our hearts, and what a blessing it was and still is to hear that you as a church body are praying for us as we go through a time of sorrow in our church and a time of testing and trials and tribulations. They seem to roll one after another, but we are encouraged in the Lord, and it is such a wonderful thing to come up here and be blessed. I just want to share a couple of encouragements before I preach the word. I just try to be able, you know, observe things when go to a new place or anything, but I wanted to encourage this body. Two ways I was encouraged this morning. One is with worshiping with the dear saints that are older than I am. Some of you, it captured my mind that some of you have been walking in Christ longer than I have been alive. And that's not to say that, you know, as a joke, but that gives me great encouragement, because God is able to cause us to persevere. And I love that. And so I look at you as an example. Oh, Lord, should you choose to give me more years of life, would you make me faithful as you have made these folks faithful? And then I'd like to come in. There's three young ladies sitting here, sitting right in front of me. And I would just love to commend you, dear little ladies. I heard you singing the praises of Christ so loud. And that was so welcoming into my heart, and such a joy to hear the praises of Christ on the lips of children. So be encouraged, Christ Church. The Lord is with you. So message today will come out of Matthew 13, verse 44 to 46. And I've entitled the message, The Immeasurable Treasure. The Immeasurable Treasure. And as we're going through just discipleship, Jason has series. He's working through the attributes of God. Daryl, prior to his health issues, was working through Isaiah. And I was going through discipleship. And we landed in Matthew 13, verses 44 to 46. The immeasurable treasure of the gospel of Christ. And I just wanted to exhort you and encourage you today. And I pray that I will be encouraged and exhorted today. So maybe a word more for myself, but I pray it's a word for you as well. But let's pick up in Matthew 13 verse. I'm going to read verses 10 to 17, and then I'm going to jump to verses 44 to 46. So Matthew 13, starting in verse 10. It says, "Then the disciples came and said to him, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?' And he answered them, 'To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have in abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it." Father, Lord, would you bless the reading of your word, the hearing of your word, the preaching of your word. And Lord, I pray that as I need your spirit, Lord, certainly in this passage, we would do well and ask for your spirit so that we may hear and that we may see and that we may understand the truths that you have laid in front of us today. May you be glorified. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So when you think about a treasure, what is it that comes to your mind? Maybe it's a pot of gold, maybe precious jewels, or artifacts, you know. But whatever it may be, what comes to my mind is when I hear that word treasure, is the word priceless. And so some of my favorite movies are treasure hunting movies. And if you notice, in any good treasure hunting movies, there must be a risk. There's always some sort of risk associated with the finding of the treasure. And so to the treasure hunter, he is willing to take all of these different risks, and he even will risk his life for the treasure. And so in this parable, the Lord, I believe, would have us consider greatly the value of the treasure. Is the treasure worth the risk? And so when we think of following Christ or to be a disciple of Christ, it's said in the Word of God that it will cost everything. And so just to set up the verses 44 to 46, Matthew 13 here in this chapter and at various times throughout the gospel, Jesus speaks in parables and he's giving various aspects of the kingdom of God. And he wants us to know what the kingdom of God will be like between the time he first came and the time he comes again. So various different things are mentioned as far as like maybe how the gospel spreads, the scope of the kingdom of God, how the wheat and tares will grow up together until Christ comes and separates the two. But here he's speaking about the treasure. And so remember that as Jesus speaks in parables, as we read in verse 10 through 17, he speaks it in two aspects, right? One, to conceal this truth from those that are not to understand, and yet to reveal a truth to those who are to understand. And just remember, and so in this context of the scripture, we have the Jews would have had the scripture. They had the Old Testament. They had history. They had the prophets. They had the temple. Yet they sadly rejected Christ. You see, they had eyes, but they couldn't see. They had ears, but they couldn't hear. And we would say, well, why is that? Well, I think the author of the book, Matthew, he uses Isaiah to reveal the reason why. And he says in verse 15, he says, their eyes, they have closed. They closed their eyes. So their unbelief was nothing more than the symptom of them closing their own eyes. They didn't want to believe. They didn't want to see. They didn't want to hear. So this unbelief, it's spiritual darkness in which a person, they not only can't see, and not only can they not hear, not only can they not understand, but they just don't want to. It's indicative of their hardened heart. They know enough. They've seen enough. They've been close enough. But they just don't want to believe. And so in these parables, we have two very similar parables, a little bit different, but both express the value of the kingdom of heaven. But just remember, through all of this, the treasure is the main thing. In the treasure hunting movie, the treasure is the main thing. Everything revolves around the treasure. The bad guys, it revolves around the treasure. The good guys, it revolves around the treasure. The risk, it revolves around the treasure. And so what is this treasure? It's the gospel. And the gospel is the good news of God to sinners who have been separated from God. It is good news to those who are dead in their trespasses and their sins. It is good news to those who oppose God. Oh, it is good news. Oh, we are sinners. And as I said before, our unbelief only reveals the true nature of our heart. But the glorious news of the gospel is it may start there, but it doesn't end there. The gospel tells us it is but God. So while I was opposed to God, but God, when I was dead in my trespasses and sins, it was but God, because God alone is rich in His mercy because of His great love. I hope you hear that. It is His great love wherewith He loved us, that He made us alive together with Christ. It is God's grace by which we have been saved. Oh, the beauty of the gospel is you cannot unlink Christ from the gospel. You cannot separate Christ and the gospel, because He is the gospel. When we speak of the gospel, we speak of a person, a real person, God incarnate. And nor can you unlink Christ's work on our behalf, who are saved by the gospel, who put our faith in this Jesus Christ. Imagine this. You cannot unlink the salvation of God for all those who would believe, those who would be justified. You cannot unlink the benefits of the gospel. You cannot unlink Christ and His church. This is the glorious and great news of the gospel. So, 3 points to the message: the treasure found, the treasure valued, and the treasure received. So we pick it up in verse 44, and I've called it 44a and 45a, and we look at that, and He says, the kingdom of heaven, remember, these are the words of Jesus, our Savior, beautiful words. The whole word is the word of God. But I do love red letter words. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. So in the first parable, the treasure is hidden, but it is found by a man just going on about his way. Let's just say it like that. He's just going on about life, right? But then the second parable is, it does say there, this man is searching and he finds it. And so let's look at the hidden treasure. And so this wouldn't be a foreign concept. Remember, back then there weren't banks and stuff like that, right? And so if you had real valuables, you would hide those things. You know, you would bury things in the earth. But just think about this. Sometimes when you bury things, you may not live to recover it, right? You may not live. Or if war or chaos broke out, as it did oftentimes in that part of the world, you would have to leave, you would have to go and to escape to save your life, and then you're hoping to return and recover that treasure. But sometimes you don't get to return. And so the treasure remains buried. You ever hear of that? Or maybe some of you even knew people who hid valuables in their mattresses. It's not a foreign concept to us, right? It really isn't. But what a great truth this is of the gospel, right? It's all around us. It's proclaimed every Sunday. But yet to the world, it is hidden. Maybe you know this with your neighbors, some of your neighbors. Yet they've heard the gospel message, but yet it's hidden to them. Some of our family members, they'll come over for Thanksgiving. They'll hear the gospel, but yet it's still hidden. Imagine if you lived at that time. Jesus came. You had no idea of who he was, but listen to John chapter 1. He was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own and his own people did not receive him. Just imagine yourself being there, seeing all they saw, hearing all that they heard. And though he is the Messiah, though he is the one to come, though he is the one foretold thousands and hundreds of years before, and here he is, God in the flesh, God come to save sinners, and yet you have no idea. You see it? You hear it? Oh. But yet, while it may be hidden to many, I think we can say that. It is hidden to many. But yet, it God and his kind and good grace would cause some to stumble upon great treasure. Isn't this most of our testimony? We're just going on about life. We're just going on about our way. We may have heard the gospel hundreds of times before, and we rejected it. And then, oh God, will stumble us. It is the grace of God. Think about this in Romans 5, verse 8. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says God shows his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now just imagine, this is the Apostle Paul writing this. And so you just remember, he's opposed to the church. He's an enemy of God. He's riding to Damascus with papers. He's going to arrest Christians. He is going to persecute. Did not God stumble the Apostle Paul? What about the woman at the well? I'm going to go get a drink of water today. Oh, this is glorious how our God will. What about a thief on a cross? Oh, can you imagine? Just a few hours, he's hanging on the cross. Just a few hours prior, he's mocking Christ. He's reviling Christ. And then in a few hours, Lord, remember me. Oh, he stumbled upon great treasure. You see, Christ would literally go to the cross. He went to the cross for us, but just imagine if you would, being the thief on the cross. At that moment, at that exact moment, at that exact time, this man hanging on the cross, but yet being one of Christ's sheep. Oh, what a marvelous Savior we have. How beautiful is he? Oh, pray and pray and pray for lost loved ones, saints. Don't give up praying. God can stumble them upon this great treasure. Perhaps you're here today. And maybe I don't know why I'm even here today. Maybe you're visiting for the first time. Maybe you don't know Christ. Maybe you have religion. Maybe you have good works. Maybe you are a good person. But would you consider, who is this glorious Christ? The one who died for your sins. Because there is none righteous, not even one. But yet, soberly, we must consider too, there is a danger of being around treasure, especially hidden treasure, because you could be standing on top of it and never even know it. Examine your souls, dear saints. Examine your soul, my dear friend. You could be on top of treasure and not even know it. And in the second case, the searched out treasure, I believe, let me just say here first, I believe that it is the working of the Holy Spirit who is at work. Because if there's none righteous, no, not one. Paul says there's none even searching for God. There's no one looking. Right? So I don't want to be presumptuous and say this man is perhaps searching for the gospel. Perhaps he's searching for something. Perhaps he's searching for truth. Perhaps he's searching for wisdom. Perhaps he's searching for knowledge. Run across many young people. I'm searching for God. You may be searching for God, but it may just be a God of your own making. But are you searching? But you see, this man, when he went out to search, he finds a pearl of great price. Let me just say this. The pearl is such of great price. It's a no-brainer. The search is over. Done deal. I will not. I know I could scour this whole earth. I know I could study every religion out there. I could study every philosophy out there. But let me tell you this. There is no greater treasure. There is no greater truth than Christ. There is no greater wisdom than Christ. There is no greater knowledge than Christ. There is no greater love than Christ. It is Christ, the great treasure. And when you have found this treasure, saint, you will know it and your search will be over. You will do nothing but admire the beautiful treasure. You will hold dear this beautiful treasure. It's not to be even compared. All other treasures are minuscule. Now let's consider the value of the treasure. When I think of the value of the treasure, Christ, this gospel, I confess that often my view of the treasure is meager. I confess that to you, saints. I need to be reminded that it was Jesus who came. He took off royal robes and he came to this earth. He came to seek and save that which is lost. He came, he gave his life so that I may have life. And not just any life, but abundant life and eternal life. We're at the pastor's conference. I got to meet Jim Donahue for the first time. So he has this bridge course, and it's great. But in one of the series, Why Did Christ Have to Die? Jim said this. He said, to free us from our captivity to sin, an extraordinary price had to be paid. A price of greater worth than all the riches of the world. Consider this. To ransom us, it would cost Jesus His life. It would cost Jesus His relationship with the Father at that time and that moment. The triune God for all eternity, who had been Father, Son, and Holy Spirit dwelling together in perfect love and unity. And at that moment and at that time, for my sake, He became forsaken. Oh, what a great cost. If you are like me, refresh yourself through the reading of the Gospels. When I have a meager view, oh Dave, go back into the Gospel. Read Ephesians 1-3. Read Colossians 1, where Bart introed so well, the preeminence of Christ, all things created by Him, all things created for Him, all things created through Him. Remind yourself of these things. And let your meager view evaporate at the foot of the cross, where God gave His life. Oh. I was reminded a few weeks ago in Pearland, as I had to preach, the Lord reminded me. You see, Christ didn't die just generally. Christ died specifically. You see, not one of my sins, not one of your sins was overlooked. It wasn't a generally just heap upon Him my sins. No, specifically my sins, specifically my pride, specifically when the motives of my heart are not to the glory of God. Specifically when I lust. Specifically every lie that I have told. Oh, specifically. Specifically every time I was disobedient to my mother and my father. Every sin upon Him was laid. Christ reconciling God and man in His body on the cross. He became a curse. It was God nailing the ordinances of the law. Every time I trespass the law, God nailed it upon Him. He was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities, and upon Him was our chastisement. Oh, let us start here. Let us not try to weigh out whether how it was just a little white lie. No, Christ died for my sin. Let us weigh it against His perfection. Let us weigh it against the holiness of God. Let us weigh it against the one who is perfectly righteous. Let us weigh it against the one who is perfectly pure. Let us weigh it against the one that is perfectly just. Let us weigh it against the one who is perfect in love. Let us weigh it against the one who is holy, perfectly holy, not like us. Let us weigh it upon Him. He placed them all upon Christ. You see the beauty, and I appeal to you, continue to dig in your word, saints, because the beauty about treasure hunting movies, as you know, they often come with a treasure map. And God has left us something greater than a map. He has given us a word where His cross marks the spot. Paul said, whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I counted everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. What precious words those are. As you guys know, Texas, we went to the beach this summer and it was so hot out there. But when the breeze blew, oh, what did it do? It made that heat so bearable. And in fact, it made it feel good. And I would appeal to you, Christ Church, here at Conroe. Won't you feel the breezes of heaven blowing upon you? Feel the breezes of heaven blowing upon you as you gather together today. Feel the breezes of heaven blowing when you gather to pray together, when you sing songs of worship together. Those are the breezes of heaven blowing upon you. When you encourage one another, feel the breezes of heaven upon you. When you stir up one another to good works, feel the breezes of heaven that are upon you. Because I will tell you this, He is a good God and He is blowing the breezes of heaven upon you. What a treasure we have. Scripture says we have a treasure in jars of clay. It is not us. It is Christ in the gospel who is the treasure. Oh, I cherish you because the treasure is in you. It's at work in you. And it's producing a glorious fruit in you. Don't just reduce church as far as a coming and going. Don't do that, saints. Oh, the King is in the midst of His people. He has gathered you together. Look around you. It is Christ who has gathered this solemn assembly together, and He has made no mistakes. Hallelujah. Guard the treasure, Christ Church. If your eyes grow dim, or if your heart should grow dull, guard this treasure. Guard it against casualness. Guard it against apathy. Guard it against convenience. Guard it against comfort. Guard your heart. If you've been in D.C., they have the Smithsonians up there, right? If you go in the Smithsonian, the Museum of Natural History, in that museum, there's this gemstone called the Hope Diamond. And that Hope Diamond is sitting there in all of its beauty and all of its splendor. And as I think to myself, you know, as you're a visitor, you come in and you see that thing and you're like, wow, it's sparkling. It's a big old diamond. But I was thinking to myself, I wonder if I worked at the Smithsonian and I was the tour guide, and as I lead people past that Hope Diamond, every time, maybe at first, my first day of work, I'm like, man, look at this thing. And I'm so excited and I'm enamored and I'm sharing my enthusiasm with these people, and then a few months go by. And a little bit less. And then some more months go by, maybe some years. Here's the Hope Diamond. Let me just read the placard that sits next to it. And let's move on to the next exhibit. And meanwhile, what you are looking at in that Hope Diamond is valued at $200 to $350 million. But that is so true of our lives in Christ, right? We can get complacent and we can get comfortable in this. Guard the treasure. And then last, as I close, is the treasure received. Oh, you see, as spectacular as all of this has been, how much even greater and more precious is it? It's to receive the treasure. It's obtained. You see, in both parables, the treasure is so great and found by both, but they both obtained the treasure. They sold all. They sold everything. There is a price. There is a risk. You must sell everything to obtain this treasure. One hid it in order to obtain it. The other said, man, I'm selling everything. I'm stopping my search. All things that were previously valued in my life. Everything that I value. To obtain this treasure is worth it. I believe selling it all speaks to repentance, turning from our sin, putting our faith in Christ, i.e., becoming saved, being born again. That is how you obtain it. You won't obtain it by doing good works. But they obtained it. We would be wise to remember the words of our Savior. For where your treasure is, there your heart is as well. I pray, Christ Church, that in light of what Christ has done on our behalf, that your joy may be full. Because they didn't just receive it, but they received it with joy and happiness. This contrasts with Matthew 19, where there was a rich young ruler, where Jesus said, go, sell all your possessions and follow me. And he could not. But these two, they sold everything and followed Jesus. D.A. Carson says, the kingdom of heaven is worth infinitely more than the cost of discipleship. And those who know where the treasure lies joyfully abandon everything else. Oh, Father, Lord, thank you for this treasure that to your people is no longer hidden. And I pray that, Father, Lord, it will be like a treasure, like a city that sits on a hilltop, where its light is not hidden, but its light shines forth. I pray that if there be any here who do not know You, they will consider this treasure. They will consider the worth of Christ and what He has done, how He gave His life as a ransom for many. Lord, thank You for this wonderful people whom You have saved, who You have knit together. I pray that they will continue on displaying the glorious treasure of the gospel to one another and to the community that they are surrounded by. And would it be to the praise of Your glory and Your great name alone. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.